in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bullets flying, bombs dropping, viruses spreading, budgets tightening, food and fuel becoming harder to get. Divisions are deepening and pain and loneliness are increasing. The world is clearly in desperate need of good Samaritans. But what does it look like? Who is my neighbor? Who are our neighbors? How do we live as people of justice and of mercy in today's world? Now, I have to admit that my heart sank a little when I saw the reading script together. Not only because of the preacher's perennial problem of finding something new to say about a very, very, very familiar story, but also because I think about this story nearly every day. As you may know, I live in Chicago, and like New York, it is impossible to walk or drive anywhere without encountering person after person after person in obvious and immediate need. Many have left time, need food, need money for a hotel, or home with government, or like yesterday, ladies, I need money, or something similar. And I walk or drive or ride right past most of them. And I think about the priest and the light in this story today, and I feel guilty. Since October of 2020, I've also been working at John Scherzer Hospital, which is right in downtown Chicago, which is our major safety net hospital. And I've seen firsthand the unspeakably destructive effects of poverty, unsafe housing, gun violence, terrible food, lack of transportation, poor health literacy, et cetera, have on our patients who are also our neighbors. And I've also seen incredible courage, tenacity, grace, creativity, and hope. All the same, at times it can be very tempting to just withdraw and try and get your fingers in your ears and your hands in your eyes. However, that's not what we're called to, right? In your scripture text, Matthew Westminster in London, there's a carving of the Madonna and Child, Mary and Joseph. She's sitting on a kind of a disc and facing forward. And on her knees, she's holding Baby Jesus. She's got him pretty firmly by his legs. They're both looking forward. She's looking over his head. He is looking forward, very focused on something we can't see, but presumably it's on. And he's reaching his hand forward, like he wants to go there. He wants to be part of the action that he sees in front of him. And I think it's a wonderful example of kind of the, I don't know, the spiritual posture we're being called to in this story today, but in, you know, really every time we turn to scripture and come to the table. Now, you know, there are great examples of huge heroism and courage. When you think of the Samaritan, you might think of somebody like a gentleman named Galen McCree from Uniontown, Pennsylvania. He was a black man who had been suing the local police for unlawful arrest. And he was at home one day, and he and his family and neighbors heard a terrific crash and then an explosion outside, and they ran out and saw that police cruiser had collided with another car. The other car was okay, but the police car burst into flames, and the white police officer was trapped inside. And Derek elbowed his way through the crowd and just wrenched open the doors, pulled the walked her out and and we hear stories like that of grace and courage. And sometimes, you know, we're encouraged and we find them inspiring, and sometimes we're like, oh, can't do that, you know. But there are also quieter stories. I'm reminded of one of the women that lived in our, what's called the medical respite center that the county's been set up. And there were some people who had been, who were in the transition between living on the streets or in shelters and trying to go for permanent housing. But it was specifically for people who had medical issues that would get worse if they went back to the streets and back to the shelter. So Jackie, I think it was, had cancer. Others had had surgery, had wounds that needed surgery. We had a lot of people with rock slide injuries of the two winters. So they could stay there and get their antibiotics or get rid of their needles. Now, Jackie had been born in the west side of Chicago. She was, you know, born to a really nice family, went to a local school, got married, had two kids. And then, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but when her daughters were about 10 and 11, somehow she got tangled up with heroin. And because of her using and the effects it had on her life, her marriage split up and she lost custody of her children. And over the next, you know, 20 plus years, she did keep working. She also got another, you know, partner that she was, they were basically in Mitchell for just 25 years. And they struggled with housing, and sometimes they had a place to live, sometimes they didn't. But one day when they were living in an apartment with a friend, she was getting weaker and weaker and weaker. She knew something was wrong. And one day she just collapsed on the floor of the kitchen and laid there for several hours. And she knew she had to get to the hospital. She had known that for a while, but she didn't trust the medical system. There are all kinds of reasons for that. And she had very good reasons not to trust the system. But at this point, she was brought to the hospital. And her son had breast cancer. And by that time, they said she was wrong. It wasn't looking too good. But she was initially stabilized. She came to live at the medical respite center with us. And then was absolutely adamant she was not going to do it. No nursing, no treatment, nothing, not doing it. And over the course of her time there and talking to some of the other people who lived there as well as staff, she decided to take a chance. And she did accept treatment. And in her case, it's been wildly successful. Which is great. But also, she is a woman who is filled with strength. And her goal now, she's still looking at, she's still with cancer, she's still getting therapy. And but her goal is to become an inspirational speaker, at least to meet with other people who have cancer, who maybe don't have the medical system, and to encourage them to take care of them. From that to be an incredible leader. And really, she was, I think that there's an American history for her, you know, with her hope and her vision, despite everything that she had been through. So, who is my neighbor? It's really anybody they meet, and anyone who helps you or me. In our needs. And maybe you found that we really read a lot of it. Like the relationship between you and America, not a great relationship as we find in that period. But that's where the book came from. The understanding and giving and taking and giving and building one another up. The prophet Micah says that he has told you, O mortal one, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your own? Or in another version, that he's already, God has already made plain how to live, what to do, and what God is looking for in men and women. prove what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love, and just keep yourself to you. So let us be on the lookout for opportunities to do what is fair and just. Let us be on the lookout for opportunities to be compassionate and loving. In the immediate moment, with the person who is directly in front of us, but also justice and mercy are made visible, or not, in the shape of the community and the society that we know. Your neighbors have a grocery store nearby. Do they have money to buy groceries? Do they have safe housing, clean water, access to medical care? Can they help? No single person can do everything. But we can do something. We can do something immediate today, and we can be a steadfast part of nudging our communities, our neighborhoods, our country towards a more just sharing of the things that are most necessary for all of us. Your card model is nothing quite around, but it's safe and first. Believing and doing. So, once again, my dear prophet, turn to the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. And this, the ability, the word is word and the ability to act. And we hear surely the commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard to do, nor is it too far away. Is it not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us and hear it for us, so that we can hear and observe it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go up to you, so that we can hear it and hear it for us, so that we can hear and observe it. No, the word. The word of God, the call of God, and the ability to respond to the call is there for you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart for you to observe.